bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the next edition of The Gamer Show. This is almost our birthday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, our first show came out at the beginning of May last year.
I think, I'm pretty sure in this, and I'm going to do a kind of sampling test, I'm pretty sure your voice has got less enthusiastic as the show's come on the introductions. Like, the last one, you're just going to be like...
That's because it is coming around to a year ago and I'm still doing this.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
I still have to see these every 2 weeks.
Is that one that we have to bleep? I don't think so.
Hey?
No, we're okay.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think?
Well, if I said it like 8 times in a row.
I think we're okay with that one. Anyway, so with me...
Going by the connotations, I'm not so sure, but crack on.
So with me, as you've more than likely already worked out, is both Sam and Chiz. How are you this evening, gentlemen?
Pretty good. Quite full and mildly hungover. Very tired.
Good.
I'm alright, I've got a strained muscle on my back and I found a nail in my tyre, so I need to get that fixed, which is all fun and games.
It's huge. It's not just a nail, it's like a massive industrial tack thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
An industrial tack.
The reason I say tack is because it has a really wide head on it, and tacks generally do. I know all about the nail. I collect nails.
Yeah.
I've got a huge collection.
Do you have Jimmy?
I haven't got Jimmy yet. he's like a special character that you have to unlock.
Unlock Jimmy nail.
Yeah. He comes with a special edition.
Crocodile shoes.
Okay.
He comes with crocodile shoes.
And until you said Jimmy nail, I hadn't even put it together, just so you know.
Anyway, on to the news. So we've got some stuff to talk about.
Have we?
We've got an iTunes review just to do, first of all. So somebody took up our challenge last week, thankfully. It'd been a little embarrassing if nobody did, actually.
It wasn't as harsh as I was kind of wanting.
Yeah. So Adam JP gave us a 5-star review. Thank you very much, Adam. And the title is Shockingly Disgusting. This show is shockingly disgusting. It's rather creative with his title there.
Has he seen the video?
Vulgar for a podcast. Oh, disgustingly vulgar for a podcast. Sorry, I didn't read that properly. Punctuation
you never
and all
do.
That.
Hopeless
the presenters are ridiculously...
The news is despicable and the hosts a few clowns short of a circus. I used to work at the circus. So, you know, I can vouch for that. It's right.
Used to work at the circus?
Yeah.
Really?
When?
Yeah.
What?
It was a company I worked for.
It's called Circus. The Circus. Mm. Right. So I was going to say, that was a travelling freak show. that was the balloon head boy show.
I did think it was harsh they kept him in the cage the whole time.
Well, it kept me from floating away.
I just started bursting you with
pins. It made it easier to poke him with sticks.
So anyway, thank you very much, Adam. He then goes on to be quite polite, but I'm not going to read that bit out because he asked us not to. I don't think that's bad enough.
No. I think people could be more imaginatively abusive.
There you go. Keep going with the challenge.
You just have to go to any sort of comment section on the interweb to find that.
Yeah, I mean, surely you can come up with something like, going by his voice, Sam has the facial features of a dyspeptic baboon's ass.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So,
Chiz is 90% genital.
A squirrel with a calcium deficiency.
That's good. I like that.
There's your show title.
No, I don't think so.
I think we can do better than that. Right, okay, so anyway, on to the news. So, Microsoft's creative director speaks in favour of Always Online.
Well, he would.
Yes, he would. So, this is the creative director. His name is Adam Orth.
I want to see a picture of him.
Adam, okay. I wasn't expecting that.
I like to imagine what they look like.
We'll put a picture in the show notes, should we find it. That looks... Is that him?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Does anybody know what he looks like?
Well, go to Google Images.
Right, okay.
Yep.
This looks like... Oh, yeah. I think that's probably him.
He looks like... I can't really see well.
He kind of looks like Chris.
You know that...
Look.
I think he looks a bit like... what's the Glass Legion comedian called?
That says Adam Orth bass player. it might not be him.
It might be him.
Who is Adam Orth? Anyway, that's Adam Orth.
No, that's a guy who's been moaning about the always-on thing.
Microsoft, that's him. They look the same. That's the same guy. We found a sketch of him. That'll be him. Look, that looks the same as him.
What's the Scottish comedian called? The really abusive one.
Billy Connolly?
No, the really abusive one.
Frankie Boyle.
Frankie Boyle. He looks like Frankie Boyle. That one that Paul's highlighted there.
All right.
Yeah, I suppose.
You do realize we're doing bad podcasting.
We will put a link in the show notes to the image that we found. So, anyway, back to the actual article that we were talking about. So, Adam Orth tweeted recently, every device is always on. That's the world we live in. # deal with it.
No.
No. So, yeah.
No.
Not exactly good PR for Microsoft.
It wasn't. I mean,
although they have come out and slagged, well.
They said that he's not
banked him.
Yeah. So Microsoft distanced themselves from Orth's comments by saying in an official statement, quote, "This person is not a spokesperson for Microsoft and his personal views are not reflective of those of the company."
Who? You probably do actually, Paul, but who leaves their stuff on all the time?
Who leaves what stuff? What do you mean?
Your equipment. That sounds like what he's saying.
No, he's meaning like always on, as in I leave my equipment always on, but yeah, my equipment is always on.
Yeah.
I forget where I was going with that. He's talking about like internet.
Yeah, to play something, it always has to needs access to the internet the whole time.
Yeah.
For example, that's what I mean, and because the rumours are increasing now that the next Xbox is going to be like that for games, which if it is, it's going to be pretty disappointing.
You know what? I'm not fussed.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to ditch it.
I'm going to step out on a wee limb here. And just going back to the SimCity thing we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, I'm not too fussed if the Xbox expects to be always on. Mm-hmm. Sure, occasionally it's going to be a pain in the arse.
What about if it's going to bring me benefits? Your internet drops for 2 days.
Yeah, I agree. That's a pain in the arse. The SimCity thing, where it's a PC game, which I think is fundamentally different because you use it on your laptop sometimes, and the use case for me on the train without the internet connection,
the
that's
Xbox
a different
be
use
sitting
case.
One place you can use it all the time. In the grand scheme of things, it probably won't bother me too much. But there is, for example, if we were trying to do what we like to do, is do like a LAN party whenever we get the Xboxes all together. For example, we couldn't have done that for Sam's birthday if we had the next Xboxes. Yeah. If we tried to set it up there where we've got no internet access at a gathering, we had to get all the Xboxes and the projectors up, we wouldn't be able to play any of the games because we wouldn't have access to the web. That's where it becomes a bit.
Or are they going to bring out the incredibly expensive Xbox mobile dongle or something?
You get like a little 3 SIM card or something like that in it,
And it'll probably cost 12 times, very much like the wireless adapter did.
See, now Sony haven't went down that route with the PlayStation 4. Surely Microsoft have to think that they have to do the same, because they're going to lose, even though in the grand scheme of things it's not a major thing, but it is to some people.
I'm tempted to boycott it. If they do it, I'm tempted to go Sony.
Yeah.
I'm not too fussed.
For me, it is definitely a plus one to Sony and a minus for it's Microsoft if they go down that route.
I just don't want to encourage them in thinking that they can lay down these rules
on
how we play games.
I think it's been transmitted really, really badly. I agree. If you, what they should be saying is, we want it to be always on because here's the benefits it gives you. At the moment, they're just kind of going, it's going to always be on.
Well, I think it's rumours. It's Microsoft haven't actually said anything.
Well, exactly.
It's just rumours and folk mouthing off when they haven't actually announced anything. So it's basically, take everything with a pinch of salt right now. The rumours aren't sounding good, but let's wait until they unveil and actually give the official statement. And then hopefully it's something good.
One last word on this Orth thing. When suggested to Orth that internet connectivity is not reliable everywhere in the world, let alone everywhere in the United States, so this was somebody said to him on Twitter, he replied, "Why on earth would I live there?"
Yeah, he's not.
This guy's a genius.
He's come across a
bit. What department does he work in?
He is.
Please say
title
public
is
relations.
Here somewhere.
Creative director.
Creative director. Oh, sorry, it says in the massive big letters at the very top of the article. Yeah, creative director. So, I mean, to be fair, he possibly hasn't got much to do with marketing.
Do
so
they keep him in a box away from people?
Yeah, with really a box of good. Crayons.
Really unleash good the orpha.
That's a show title.
Let's slip the oath of war.
Oh, well, anyway.
Just rattle a cage. Come on! Wake up, you bastard.
So, Battlefield 4, a 17-minute in-game.
Which means no one watched it.
No, I watched it.
Did you watch
all of it?
Mm-hmm. In 1080p as well?
Yeah, I did. Well, I watched about the first 10 seconds and I'm thinking...
What difference does...
It does, because the quality can... If you watch it normal, like on YouTube, like at 320, it looks all right, but as soon as you go to 1080p and you say, yeah, it looks, does, you can see it's much,
I watched
much
the first
looking.
Maybe 10, 15 seconds and I'm thinking, I don't know what he's talking about. And so I changed it up to 1080 and it was... I'm really shocked because this article suggests that I'm just trying to find the actual quote where it talks about it's actually looking like it's going to be. That's a later article. The Metal Gear Solid is for current gen hardware, but this one, the video actually suggests that it's for next gen hardware. Mm-hmm. I can't see current gen hardware dealing with that kind of graphics.
But with Battlefield 4, not like for what they're showing there, which will be what. The PC graphics will be, and hopefully what the PlayStation 4 and next box will be as well. Mm-hmm. But I
like that next box. Did you do that by accident?
No, it's what folk are calling it as well. Rather than Xbox 720, it's
next
folk,
box.
Yeah, I prefer that to 720 because 720 sounds like a crap title for it.
Yeah. And where do they go next? I can't do that math. 1440.
Isn't 420 what the Americans refer to cannabis as?
No.
Or is it some form of sex drug or something? Maybe I've just got confused.
420, where are you getting that from?
I don't know, it just popped into my head.
Something. Yeah, no, you're right. Because we were at my work. It's
why
how
would
exciting
you call it
my work.
Something that could possibly get mixed up slightly.
Well, we were trying to work out passcodes. And like security levels and different passcodes, because we're doing an app just now that requires a passcode, and we were trying to work out what passcodes we should not be allowing people, and so we managed to get, somebody had done some research, I can't remember who it was, on the internet about the most commonly used 5-digit passcodes around the world, and that one that you refer to, I don't know what I can't remember what the number was, but there was like a 3-digit number that meant cannabis basically.
Yeah.
And the other one, your 12345 11111 22222 was like really high. 90210 was also really high, so we've had to ban 90210 as a passcode.
I'd say if
420 cannabis.
If this show overruns, I say we delete this bit.
That's really interesting.
Anyway, so Battlefield 4, 17-minute gameplay footage, which I would highly recommend. Yeah. Albeit, I think they could have probably edited it down a little bit. There is an awful lot of just meandering through halls and stuff.
It's obviously from the single-player game, which looks like it's improvement over the Battlefield 3 single-player, which is crap, but the multiplayer was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. The only thing I would say is... The AI, the graphics amazing, but the AI still doesn't look like that great. For example, there's bits where you're...
Yes, it's a Spice Girls album.
In Paul's CD collection.
No, actually...
In his office.
You'll find...
So it's there for no one else's.
See that
there
box over there?
Spice Girls album.
That box over there is all of Kirsty's CDs that is waiting
and
for me to be bothered.
QFX.
Yeah, waiting West for me to
Life,
be bothered to rip into
and
an iTunes
Smurfs
library.
Album. This is giving you... It's like through the keyhole, and I'm like,
you're
Grossman.
Breaking the fourth wall here, Sam.
So whose house is this?
Anyway, so Battlefield 4.
So it
looks quite good.
Graphic looks great. AI still needs some work. You always, because there's a bits where you're shooting a guy and like he's hanging in the window. And he's getting shot at, and the AI knows he's getting shot, but he just kind of ducks him. He just ducks up and down repeatedly in the AI fashion. Realistic graphics, AI sounds a bit stupid.
Yeah. The graphics did look very impressive.
And there was a bit where he shot his grenade launcher into the wall to try and get the guy hiding behind the wall. The wall blew up, but the guy was totally flingstyle standing behind the wall. It's like, I'm pretty sure he'd be dead, or at least crushed by the wall. But so
or at the very least, a little perplexed as to where the wall went.
Exactly. He just kind of like dusted himself off and continued shooting. So they can fix those sort of, I don't like, match the AI and the stuff to
the
graphics. That's where we need to go. But graphically, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, really does.
And as per Battlefield 3, I'll be looking forward to the multiplayer rather than single player. But hopefully, they've improved the single player as well.
Yep. Metal Gear Solid 5. So this is what I was just talking about. So basically, there has been a couple of rumors of two other games. Is that right? They were kind of suggesting of downloadable content.
There was Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, and then there was a game which everyone, well, basically that was pretending to be a different game made up by a pretend developer, which everyone knew straight away was, no, that's Metal Gear, which was called The Phantom Pain. But it turns out, they are entirely the same game. Ground Zeroes is going to be the prologue to it, and then Phantom Pain's the main sort of story, but it's all one game called Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Yeah. Phantom Pain's an odd title,
well,
I thought.
Well, it's Big Boss, which is the version of Snake you put out, who the other snakes get cloned off. In the Phantom Pain part of the game, he wakes up after a 9-year coma, all sort of like, he's lost his muscle mass, whatnot, and he's also lost an arm. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if Phantom Pain stands for the pain he gets from his phantom arm.
Right,
so I'm wondering if it's an idea that's come from that, but there'll be more to it as well. But because later on in the game, you see he's got a proper sort of robot arm now, so he's lost a limb. So I'm wondering that's where the title comes from, because, you know, people who lose limbs get a phantom itch. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. So what I thought was most interesting about this article is, this is on CVG, and it says at the bottom, the MGS5 trailer confirms that the game is in development for Xbox 360 and PS3, which suggests that it's coming out at some point in the next 6 months,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of odd that we haven't heard a release date now.
No, but it's Kojima's bad for that, and it'll probably get delayed as well, but... it's the Fox engine they're using, which is the new engine that they've developed, especially for this game. They'll use for various other things. Apparently, the new Pro Evolution is going to be using the engine as well, which will be quite cool, or the one after anyway. But it's been said that the engine is scalable, so like you can use it for Xbox and PS3, but it also means it's easily to be scaled up in graphics and whatever to be used for the next gen as well.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if
it gets delayed.
Depending on when it comes out, there'll be a version on the Xbox and PS3 and for the PS4 as well, with extra features and whatnot.
It sounds as well as a chance that Kiefer Sutherland will be one of the voices.
Well, in the trailer...
as himself?
No.
That would be awesome. Jack Bauer helps Snake.
No, just Kiefer Sutherland.
He rocks up.
Yeah.
In the trailer...
Moment!
Sorry, Chiz, you're going to say something really sensible.
Yep. As always. In the trailer, when Big Boss wakes up, there's a guy whose face is all bandaged up, and he's quite clearly...
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Well, or voiced by him.
Cool. That actually reminds me about the previous thing that we just talked about. What did we talk about? Battlefield 4.
Yeah.
About 2 minutes before the end of the trailer, a guy comes in the radio, and it sounds like Adam West.
Okay.
It would be awesome if Adam West was he's kind of like playing a kind of a general role or something like not as in like a coverall role, as in a general, like the rank in the army.
Just as weird a side note, for years I thought Kiefer Sutherland was Keith O'Sullivan. For years. He's of Irish descent.
He should now change it to that.
He really should.
Keith O'Sullivan.
My name's Keith O'Sullivan.
But,
so there you go.
There's been a lot of fan backlash to that as well, because it's David Hayter, who was the voice of Snake for years, has been dropped and somebody else is now voicing Snake. Which seems like an odd move. I don't know why they're doing that, but as a lot of fans are in uproar about it. I wouldn't say I'm not too happy either, because I don't see why they're placing them, but let's see what they do, I suppose. Yeah. I'm not going to boycott the game or anything, but I'm a bit disappointed. But I'll see if there's a reason for it, or it's probably
falsetto.
It could just be a massive just prank anyway, and I bet he ends up voicing the game, oh, I'm just me again, as he does the mad Japanese git.
Did you say dick there?
Git.
Oh, I did.
You said you said it, Paul.
You fud.
Oh, dear. Right, okay, anyway. The next one we're going to talk about, Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon, confirmed with the teaser trailer. So this is an 80s inspired sci-fi spin-off
set in 2007.
Set in 2007, which is quite fantastic. So Ubisoft has released a teaser trailer for Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. There's no clear indication as to whether this is DLC or a full game in its own right yet. Mm-hmm. But basically the cover art, which we'll put a link in the show notes to the image,
looks sexy as hell.
There's been a few leaked screenshots since I posted this up, but which I'll maybe fire to you to put on the, up as well. But yeah, it just kind of looks absolute crazy.
Yeah.
I'll let you read out what it says.
So, according to the site, Blood Dragon is set in, quote, the future of 2007. Excuse me, sorry, I thought I was going to hiccup there.
I thought you were waiting for some sort of dramatic pause.
No, I was going to hiccup. Or burp or something. Anyway, Earth has been ravaged by a nuclear wall. Wall? Yeah. Nuclear wall.
It's a really big wall.
I think
dry stone, too.
I think we need a fourth host just to read stuff out.
It's hand-built dry stone nuclear wall.
Oh, don't touch it. Your hand melts.
Oh dear, right, okay. Nuclear war, a new past.
If you just walk past it, you get sterilised. Ah, no! No kids for me. Oh, I would want it to be impotent, now I've got an extra head.
New paths for peace must be found. A US cyborg army may have found a solution. A powerful bioweapon on a distant island. A Mark IV cyber commando. Oh, see, the first time when I read the notes through, I took that as the guy's name was Mark.
Punctuations mean nothing in your life, eh?
Oh, dear God.
Anyway, a Mark IV cyber commando, Sergeant Rex
Power. His first name was Paul.
I think this podcast has made you dyslexic. Is it dyslexic? Dyslexic.
Oh,
I can never say that word.
Sergeant Rex Power Colt has been sent over the gather in... Sorry. Over the that's a mistake on the website.
Okay.
Over the gather information and figure out what the hell's going on. God, we pushed our way through that one.
That was at one sentence.
So this looks quite interesting. Whether it's DLC or a
unfortunately,
full-blown
we
game.
Now have no time to talk about it. So
yeah, I know. The site also features a fictional interview with the director of Blood Dragon, and it also reveals an Easter egg. That if you put in the Konami code up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, it does something. But it doesn't actually go in to say what it's going to do. But that looks interesting. We'll watch that one
I did check out the website, but I didn't put the code in or anything. But I'd say, Far Cry 3's, I thought, an absolutely fantastic game. And it would have been quite easy to do just a standard sort of DLC where you just chuck extra missions on the same island with the same guy. So I think it's quite cool that they've. I don't understand it. The fact it's still called Far Cry 3 makes me think it's going to be a DLC thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that they've kind of totally changed the whole thing and kept this sort of and went more nuts in the game more than it was, but means it should be quite fun, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Cool.
It's a bit like Red Dead Redemption. And
I think it's even taken even further than that.
Yeah, I know, but there seems to be a kind of trend.
It's Red Dead. Well, I think what they've done is they've avoided that now trend of just zombies, chuck zombies. Now. Well, DLC zombies.
No, but
which has been done to death since Red Dead.
I meant just a trend for putting in kind of alternative.
Yeah, but I'm saying most alternative stuff has been zombies.
No, it has. Now I think about it.
Okay, okay.
I heard that the next-gen Xbox controller near identical to current unit report.
Unnamed sources have apparently told
Segway.
Kotaku.
That's how you do it, Paul. Natural light.
That some developers have actually got their hands on next-generation hardware from Xbox, or rather from Microsoft. And apparently, apart from the fact that it's a little smaller, it's almost identical. So we still have the same buttons, the same configuration of buttons, the same two analog sticks, the same D-pad. Home button in the center. No indication as to whether the start and select buttons are the same or the double triggers. The shoulder buttons and the triggers.
It's back and start on Xbox, isn't it?
Yeah, but sorry, it's back and start. You're right. Sorry, I've been playing the SNES for quite a bit, so it's got the start and select there.
Well, that's what it means, really.
Yeah. It is. No indication, or certainly no reports to suggest that there's going to be any kind of fancy new junk like on the PlayStation controllers. I quite like the Xbox controller.
Yeah,
I'm kind of okay that they're keeping it.
It plays my all-time favourite controller just because it's comfortable.
I quite like the D-pad to be fixed.
Yeah,
D-pad's a bit fun.
The D-pad's the only thing that's absolute crap. Apart from in the newer controllers, you've got the twisty D-pad, which works much, much better. I don't know if it depends what sort of new feature put on. I'm interested to see what the PlayStation 4 does with its touchpad and what it's used for. But if it's anything like the 6-axis, it'll be not used much at all.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens. But
yeah.
Whether or not Xbox are missed out or they are going to add something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But then again, what can you add apart from you can go the Wii route or the PlayStation route, and then what else is there that without going ridiculous and crap and then getting in your way?
Attach sex devices.
It's a whole new world of gaming there.
They've been trying to develop it for years, but Microsoft's finally nailed it.
You're still waiting for interactive sex swing as well, aren't you?
Yep.
And as an aside to this, there's not really much to say about this, but industry experts expect Microsoft to respond to the PS4 in April at some point, which is interesting due to the fact that E3 is only like, what, a month and a half away now? It's like early June?
Is it June, July? I can't remember.
It's something about June. But yeah. You kind of think they might hold off on that, being that they have the whole of the press kind of focused on them.
But there's this great new trend of really copying Apple and doing their own press launches as opposed to other people, so they get all of the attention.
Mm. Yeah, but you'd think that being there's going to be that much buzz going on at E3, they would like to be the headline of that. But I see your point. It's kind of 50-50. But anyway.
I read a big article about it not that long ago.
Well done, dull.
And you summed it up in one sentence.
Yeah, it was a pretty dull article, to be honest.
So, apparently, Bethesda have announced or confirmed that a new version of Doom is coming out soon. So, it's the long-awaited reboot, Doom 4.
Well, Doom 4 has been in production for a while, but it sounds like they've scrapped it and kind of started again.
Mm. I'd quite like somebody just to take the original Doom and just make it for like current hardware. Because that was
same graphics.
Same graphics.
No. Polishing the graphics. Essentially, all we're doing is polishing a... No, I'm not going to say that.
I think it'd be rubbish.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Just like the same old game, just with like rubbish. Kind of modern graphics. Okay, fair enough.
It would be rubbish.
Anyway, so they've confirmed that they are doing a reboot of the Doom 4 project.
I didn't really enjoy Doom 3. I enjoyed it for the first few levels, and then once it did basically become the old style Doom A to B, it was door A to door B, and then that was it, and I went, it started to I did eventually complete it, but it grated on me after a while.
I think it
lost its... Because at the time when it first came out, it was just like the graphics and were absolutely amazing when it first came out. But that quickly wore off.
I think
me.
As long as they put as much effort into it as they did the film, then it'll all be fine.
Or Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Very quickly, before we get on to kind of our top story that I'm sure we're all dying to talk about, is Grand Theft Auto, or rather Rockstar, have released cover art for the new Grand Theft Auto film.
I hear you can play as a dog.
Film?
Sorry, film? No, not film. For the next Grand Theft Auto game, which is due out in September. So basically, we will put again the link in the show notes for you to have a look at this. But it's the same style as all other Grand Theft Auto games. You've got the title in the middle.
Were we expecting anything else?
No, I don't suppose we were. It maybe kind of shows some stuff. Driving a jet ski, a mountain bike. A jet ski, a kind of a track bike, kind of dirt bike kind of thing.
Which the screenshots of that game have shown.
Helicopter.
Yeah, helicopter.
Scuba gear.
Is that scuba gear?
Yeah, I've heard there's going to be scuba.
Yeah,
but that's... I don't think that looks more like...
Shut up, Paul, it's scuba.
There's also an iPhone, clearly, in front and centre. It looks like an iPhone 4S.
Shut up, Paul.
But it's got a different logo on the back. It looks like ice cream. There's a dog in it, and there's a guy holding a gun, so it looks like you're going to have guns in this version of Grand Theft Auto.
I think you can play as a Rottweiler.
Can you play as a Rottweiler? There's also a car that looks a little bit like
Rottweiler.
An Audi as well.
You have a pet Rottweiler when your character's...
No, I want to play as the Rottweiler.
All right. I don't know if
you kind of do it like a Tokyo Jungle style Grand Theft Auto.
I've never downloaded that. I meant to do that after the last show.
Yeah.
You downloaded. We all said we were going to.
Well, I have a PlayStation, but I've been trying to get it for
Tokyo Jungle.
PC, and then I went off looking for similar games to it. Can't find anything, so you have to have Sony. It's annoying.
Anyway, so
I meant to actually download it today, but
you should do.
Yeah, so Grand Theft Auto 5, cover art. So there you go, link in show notes.
It's not often cover art gets news, but I suppose Grand Theft Auto will give it news, but it is not much of news.
not in real places, but on our really shoddy show, it definitely gets a spot.
Yes, on a podcast with no visual images, we shall talk about a Grand Theft Auto cover.
And
also, no images... And hosts with the descriptive ability of 2-year-old hamsters.
And so the big news, I suppose, is that Disney have shut down LucasArts. Well, we have a minute silence for that.
Yeah, I'm quite... It's like, even though they've probably not made a decent game for about a decade...
X-Wing
versus TIE Fighter.
I said decade.
I suppose that was about 30 years ago.
But no, but it's that they've not made a good game in about a decade. But they did before that. They did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Battlefront. Sorry, Battlefront was good.
Yeah, Battlefront as well. Mm-hmm.
And, we've had this conversation.
Well, no,
before,
I don't think it was even LucasArts who made Battlefront. That was it. Not? It was developed. I was saying, like, I was thinking what Star Wars games were good. And I was like, oh no, there was Knights of the Republic. Oh, that was BioWare. Like, I was thinking about that. But they made some, back in the 90s, they made some absolutely brilliant point-and-click games.
Yep.
Grim Fandango is absolutely fantastic. And
they did do Monkey Island, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Monkey Island.
And, so, like, they will be missed.
Yeah.
But on the plus side, hopefully it means the Star Wars license, gets shipped out to decent developers. Because the past, the only decent games that come from those IPs lately have been from developers have not been LucasArts.
So, unfortunately, that does also confirm, which we talked about in the last show, that they have cancelled, or our reliable sources confirmed, that they have cancelled outright Star Wars 1313 and Star Wars First Assault, which, to be honest, I'd never heard of the second one.
I'd heard that there was rumours of that, and there was a few screenshots, which it looked like, basically, I think it was going to be a DLC thing, like game which was, I don't know if it's going to be free to play or along those lines, but it was like, played like Battlefield, but a smaller version of it.
But, 1313, which had us quite interested about this time last year.
I'm actually pretty naffed off.
The last thing I heard was it was George Lucas, after seeing 1313, was wanting it changed to be like a Boba Fett game instead. So, like, rather than having made up people, it's going to be about Boba Fett, which is not a bad thing because I like Boba Fett, but depending on how much of it changed and basically things George Lucas has been touching,
then they
crumbles.
Would be assassinated by fanboys who know the entire history of Boba Fett's life.
But there might still be hope for it unless, I say, a third party developer comes in and has interest in taking it up, but it does sound like it's probably dead.
I'm pretty annoyed.
Yes. So anyway, Sam, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Total War Arena, which has recently been announced.
I would love to go back through all of our shows.
It's
and
been Total War.
How
many Total Wars has he said?
So tell me about Total War Arena.
Total War Arena is going to be a free-to-play thing.
Okay.
It's going to be basically 20 people playing it at the same time. You are part of...
Top-down strategy game, I take it.
Yeah, it's Total War. It's just battles, apparently. And you and 9 other people control one force.
Right.
Unless I've got it wrong and it's 5 people. But from what I read and understand, it's 10 people aside.
Okay.
You control 3 units each.
So it's just 2 forces fighting each other.
Yep. And you have to kind of back up your friends. And
because
obviously
there's
the rock, paper, scissor thing of, like, I don't know, spear versus cavalry. And whatever.
It'll be more advanced than that, but that's the basics of it. Yeah,
but so you've got to work in tandem with your, not in tandem. What's 10? Work in tandem with all your mates and kind of use your force effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free to play. Apparently, there are bits that you can just pay for.
Like any sort of it's free to play stuff. If you can mind adverts or slowly grinding up and it's free, or if you want stuff straight away you can pay, which still seems to annoy people and whatnot, but
they
I was just going to go off on one there, but I'm going to come back to my going off on one.
Okay. They have stated that almost everything you can do without spending a penny, and you kind of you can pay to kind of boost your troops up, but they gain experience as they go, so they get better as you play.
But if you want to cheat and just kind of skip forward a wee bit, you can.
So, yeah, there's always going to be the asshole who comes out with machine guns. Rant away.
I hate that happens in history books.
My rant was, so talking about like adverts and things like that and free-to-play games.
Microtransaction stuff.
As I think I mentioned the last show, the show before that, I've been doing a little bit of an Android experiment, so I've been using the Nexus 4 recently. And I was playing Plants vs. Zombies, and I completed that, and I was kind of stuck for something else to play. So I'd never ever... I kind of played the first couple of levels of Angry Birds Star Wars, but never really given it a chance. So I downloaded Angry Birds Star Wars on the Nexus. Now, as it transpires, I didn't realize this, but on Android, Angry Birds is free, but you have to deal with advertising, yeah. Whereas on iOS, you have to pay for it. And I got so sick of the advertising. It was actually, it wasn't even, it was like advertising that film, The Croods, which is the new DreamWorks film. Yeah. It's like kind of cavemen type thing. And at least every change of level or restart of level, I got a freaking advert that I couldn't skip.
I played
so sick of it
just today, yeah. Because I downloaded it ages ago and forgot about it. The Where's My Valentine, mm-hmm. section of Where's My Water,
yeah.
With Perry, who I still don't know who the hell he is.
I've showed you the cartoon that he comes off of before. You were very unhappy with him. Yeah, yeah.
And the crocodile thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, that kept coming up with like singles dating. It's not really Valentine's-y. And how dare you presume
well, it is
that just
kind of Valentine's.
How dare you presume maybe that just because I'm a gamer, I'm going to be single?
That's maybe inappropriate actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, it's maybe an inappropriate sort of advert for that sort of game. Yeah.
But it was constant. It really bugged me. It was like, yeah, okay, I get that it's a free game and you've got to fire advertising at me, but giving me the exact same trailer for the exact same film once every kind of 4 minutes. Not okay. That was really annoying.
I've recently downloaded Real Racing 3, which is free, or you can actually buy, or you can pay to upgrade things faster. But whenever you upgrade stuff, like earn in-game cash, which you do through racing, blah, blah, and whenever you're trying, for example, upgrade your car, you have to. It says it'll take 3 minutes to upgrade, so you have to wait 3 minutes. So you can just put your phone away and it alerts you when it's ready. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to wait that, it's free, or you can then, or with real money, buy the coins to do it, to just speed up. So, but it's like it's a mobile game. I'm never going to be sitting there, so have a poo, upgrade the car, put it away, next poo, try to go again.
Just like to say at this point, and it's going to sound mysterious apart from to Amy, I didn't mention it. Crack on.
That's interesting. Wow. Okay, okay.
She pooed on her phone.
She plays a game.
When she poos.
She's ashamed of it. She won't talk about it.
Just what you're looking forward to.
It's more so I want to know what's happening with it.
It's the show title.
What? No, it's not.
Amy plays games when she poos.
I didn't say that at all, but... Crack on. I think there's been better than that, to be fair.
She does wipe away.
No.
All right. Prey 2. I want to know what's happening with it, because it looked promising. It looked pretty good. And, yeah, what's happening in Prey 2? So if you're a developer, let me know.
Was that it? That's
basically, yeah. I was looking forward to it. It's like,
emails too.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be out by now. I think it got delayed to, like, I don't know, a no set sort of release date now. It's kind of... There's some sort of a dispute with the developer and Bethesda. I don't know why I said that in a really calm fashion, but there we go. And who?
That's how you normally talk.
Yeah.
Move on.
And yeah, I won't know what's going on Prey 2, because Prey 2, okay. I thought it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Bounty Hunter in space, which isn't in the Star Wars universe, which would have been not nice as well, but I think it was good.
Cool.
And I enjoyed Prey 1.
Sam?
I did mine already.
I know. I've not got one.
All right.
Have you not?
No, I had Fallout 3.
Fallout 3?
Far Cry 3, Blood, something or other. Then I noticed you put it in the news.
Seriously?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
You have nothing, do you?
Isn't it like...
That's pretty poor, Paul.
Well, I know. Personally, it's out now, is it not? But you're not going to get Luigi's Mansion for your 3DS?
I probably will, but...
That actually looks like a Nintendo title, that.
I already talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Luigi's Mansion, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did, in the preview section a few weeks back. Anyway, okay, Luigi's Mansion, again. If you want to hear the review or the preview, go back a few episodes. I talked about it then. I'm sorry, I honestly, shut up.
Next section.
I must have went to my happy place or something you were talking about.
Yeah. So, what have you been playing this week? Sam.
Why'd you keep going at me first? I've been playing Bioshock Infinite. But I'm not going to talk about it, because Chiz will do better at talking about it than I will.
You can both talk about it. Do it together.
Can do. I've also...
Say alternate words.
Okay. Okay.
Bioshock.
Infinite.
There we go.
No, the whole review.
I was also playing Theme Hospital.
Really?
Which I really enjoyed.
Does that work on modern hardware? Or is it like a... Has it been repackaged or something?
I had to bodge it a little bit.
Yeah, because I tried to install it on a PC just a couple of years ago. I found it in an old box or something, and it wouldn't install from everyone.
We've had Theme Hospital, have we not, from a... Or was it
a... It was a clone. Kind of thing. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Hospital Tycoon.
I had to download a thing that...
Emulator.
Uses the coding.
Was this after watching Random Encounter playing it?
I didn't see him play it.
No, he's played it. It's quite
all
funny.
Right, cool.
But anyway, go.
Put a link to that on the show notes.
watch Random Counter. Yeah. It's much better than our show.
On GameSpot, it's quite fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Chase, what did you think about it? I'll just tell my little bit of story.
Yeah.
I got really quite far into it. I was really enjoying it. It was quite dark. It messes with your head a bit.
Mm.
And you don't really know quite what's going on a lot of the way through it. And my little brother came down to visit because I had family here all week. And on Sunday, and sat him up with a game because I went and checked beforehand that you can choose chapters to go back to. And I was like, right, surely I'll just be able to go back to the start of the chapter. Nope, not at all.
The start of the chapter
is basically after the intro bit, so you're essentially restarting the whole game again. So, pretty much after the intro bit where you get the Skyborg thing.
I think when I was replaying a bit back from the chapters, it kind of messed things up. The save system's a bit isn't the best in it, but yeah.
I was going for the second time to Comstock's house, heading to Comstock's house for the second time it tells you to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really quite far into it, I think. I don't think I was that far away from completing it. I'd killed all of the other main characters, pretty much. I was a bit annoyed, including Comstock's wife. But that might be a bit of a... Anyway, what did you think to it, Chase? What did you really enjoy?
I really enjoyed it. I think if you're expecting the same as Bioshock 1, you might be a bit...
Yeah.
I'd say it's more of a shooter.
It is more of a shooter.
But the way the story's told and the way it's told, which is... probably just the two that's that same things I've just said in different ways, but it's
no.
really well done because I don't know you, but I think the first maybe couple hours there was no shooting at all. I didn't get that far. I was just kind of looking around, checking every nook and cranny, enjoying taking everything in because the city is just so well done.
Yeah, it's beautiful
and really, really, really impressed with that. And when you actually do start to unlock stuff, I was quite impressed at how actually good the shooting is because the whole mechanic. Of obviously you can shoot and you've got like your vigors, which obviously is the same idea as the plasmids, and so you shoot the right hand and you've got your plasmids or vigors on your left hand, but then you've got your sky hook where basically you can jump on the skyline, which is like a roller coaster ride while shooting at the same time, which is
absolutely
fantastic.
I really enjoyed that as a game mechanic and a good way of getting from one place to another.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really enjoyable. See, and the fact that you can dive off and land onto people and smack them in the face.
How brutal are the kills with the skyhook as well?
Like ripping someone's head off.
I mean, and what's quite good is it's Elizabeth, who is like your AI partner for...
Who's really likable.
Who's done really well, who is your partner through the game. Whenever you do that sort of execute, you can hear her kind of going...
Yeah,
like,
she's horrified.
Don't.
She is pretty much disgusted with you throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
See, I looked at it this week, and I knew that you guys were reviewing it, so I didn't touch it, but I was quite tempted by it, and I didn't play the original.
It's
pretty different, actually. I would say
if you've not played Bioshock 1 or 2, you can jump in. It's not a direct sequel from them, so you can jump straight in without worrying about it.
Yeah, no, it looked quite interesting. I quite fancied it. I still recommend you
play Bioshock 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I think
2 is still really good, so it's lost its magic because it's underwater setting in Rapture. It's lost the magic because you're there again, but 2 still a really enjoyable game. I
think I did play 1, to be honest. I'd rather go now that I think about it. I definitely didn't play 2, though. I have both 1 and 2. I just have never, ever opened 2.
I think it's more of like a reimagining of it, almost. Like a they've started again and redone it.
It's like,
almost.
What's good? You do spend the majority. Like if you find all of the voxophones, which is the recording stuff, if you collect all them, I was playing.
I really
it took me about. I've completed the game now, and it took me nearly it's 20 hours, and what I read online, it was most folk were completing in about 10. So I was taking my time, but even then there were some things I missed, because I thought, right, I've completed the game. It's like, damn, I didn't find all the voxophones, and so I've still missed things.
And the little cinema boxy things that you bend down and look into,
which
and
tells
see the history.
Yeah, that's, and but no, it's you spend probably three quarters of the game, if not more, so even up until the end, kind of scratching your head, still going, I have no idea what's going on. And I was actually finding myself going, right, so I'm probably more than half of this game, I'm still not adding things together. So I actually went back and listened to a lot of the voxophones, because when you listen to them, you're kind of playing the game at the same time, you're not taking it in. And so when I started doing that, I started to piece things together better. So when the ending did come, I was more, I never quite predicted it, but I had a rough idea of where it was kind of going. And basically, things that you think, there's various things that start the game, you don't give a second look, but then you realise after you complete the game, but that makes total sense now. Right. It's like, everything, even minute things, all make sense at the end of the game. You just think, oh, they just got that. And even the songs in the game, you kind of go, that song, what? And then you realise later on, you went, that's why it's in there. That's why they've used that. And just the game's just, once I complete it, I'm going to play back through it again. It's just an absolutely fantastic game. The only thing I miss is, as good as the combat is, I miss the whole planning of the combat from Battleship 1, when you're trying to take down a big daddy. Before assaulting it, you could plan it all out. You could actually arrange to take down the big daddy without even shooting a weapon at it. You could arrange for various, like, it's a splicers to them fighting the big daddy, or set up traps for it. And then you do eventually take the big daddy down if you have to. It only takes like one shot, and it's really satisfying to do that. The closest thing that you can get to that is the handymen, which are bloody hard.
They
just come straight after. Like, they'll
shoot them in the heart. By the way, the only opportunity you will get to shoot him in the heart is the 0.25 of a second before he's just walloped you in the face.
Yeah. And anything you can throw at them, they can find a way around and whatnot, and it's actually quite fun fighting them. But at the same time, once you think, oh, I'm used to fighting everyone else, I can handle these guys, then you just hear Elizabeth shouting, "Handyman!" And you're going, oh, bugger. And then you know you're in for a world of hurt.
And you can't even get away from him, because he electrifies the rails.
Yeah. So you have to get off the rails. It's well done. I really enjoyed it. And highly recommend it. And it took me nearly 20 hours to complete. So it's one of those games I wouldn't recommend you rush through, because if you do plow straight through it, the ending point,
you'll miss a lot.
You'll miss tons of stuff. The ending point won't make much sense to you. It'll make even more sense if you do pay attention to everything and take your time with it. It's an absolutely fantastic game, and it's all so well sort of fleshed out. It's been probably one of the best games I've ever played, I think. The only thing I would say is they built up the AI for Elizabeth so highly that it didn't quite work out as great as I thought. It kind of cheated, where as soon as you turn your back, it'll teleport her where she needs to be, rather than her walking there sometimes.
Yeah, but it's not a big deal. When you're anywhere near a rail, she'll kind of, it won't teleport her in, she'll be jumping off the rail behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in that sense.
It's like, I understand why they've cut corners, but, and then there'd be certain times, because they always said she interacts with the environment, she interacts with some stuff, major with the plot, but there were some things that happened that I thought, I probably got arranged her so that she was nearby to see, oh, she'll surely say something about this. And then she doesn't do anything. And kind of went, that's a bit odd.
She hides quite often. Yeah. And that's about as far as it goes,
and
I found.
I didn't find it as ground. Like I say, I've seen a lot of other games do AI where they're following you and interacting probably just as well. But it's still done well. But she's a well-developed and written...
She's likable.
Well-written character you actually care about while playing through the game, which is a major thing for a computer game.
Cool. I have actually been playing a little bit of Lego City Undercover, but I don't feel I've played it enough for I can have a proper review of it. However, what I have been playing this last couple of weeks is I got this device here. You can see it. I know if you're listening.
Surely,
you
Paul, that is a SNES controller.
No, this.
Surely, Paul, that is a black box.
With SNES ports in the side.
Wow.
So basically, what it allows me to do is plug my SNES controller into my Mac. And then now, I'm not condoning in any way piracy. My argument is that because I own all the games that I've downloaded as emulators, and I don't have a telly that my SNES can plug into and work, because I've tried, I kind of feel it's still justified, but I'm not condoning it in any way, shape or form. But I feel like I've bought those before. In fact, I've bought most of them twice, because I bought them when I was like 10 or something, and then I've rebought them on eBay recently. Anyway, so what this is a little device. We could put the link in the show notes for where to buy it. It's on Amazon. It's about, I think it was £13 with Prime subscription, so I'm assuming there's postage and packing. And basically all you do is you download an emulator. I downloaded SNES 9X. Plug the USB port in, plug the SNES controller in. It's got two controllers, so you could play like Mario Kart and stuff like that, and you can play SNES games to your heart's content. There was also a bunch of other ones for like NES, original Xbox, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 1, and all that kind of stuff as well. But that was really cool. And I've been playing Zelda, and I loved that game back when I had it on the SNES, the Legend of Zelda. And I've been playing through that again, and what an awesome game that is. I've been playing Super Mario Brothers.
What harder than what is now?
Yeah. It was fairly unforgiving. I've been playing Super Mario World as well. I don't know why. I've always got this kind of almost romantic memory of how good that game was. And every time I find it as an emulator, like once every kind of 5 or 6 years, I'll fire it up as an emulator. And I'm always a little disappointed in it. I think Super Mario Brothers 3 was the pinnacle, in my opinion. And Super Mario World, while it was graphically superior, there was something just missing about it. I don't know what it was. Even though Yoshi got introduced in that one. But yeah, still good. I also got Jurassic Park, which I've not actually fired up yet. I quite enjoyed Jurassic Park because it's very similar to Zelda in that kind of top-down view.
And then when you go inside the building, you get the first person.
Yeah, it's quite
cool. I thought Jurassic Park was one of those rare, especially in that time, movie tie-in game, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Although, didn't really direct, but it had the characters, but didn't follow the film at all. Well, which was what
you can't help but feel that some game studio somewhere is making a cracking top-down SNES game about a guy and a dinosaur. And then, Steven Spielberg just kind of came along and went, do you fancy naming it Jurassic Park? So, there's a chance.
Yeah. Put Hatton and Com Grant.
So, that's what I've been playing this week. We are really long this week. So, I'm going to very, very quickly run through a UK 2 sponsor and then own a bargain basement.
That's what you mean. I thought I was going to say my trousers are on.
So, this show and all others on the British Tech Network are sponsored by UK2.net. They are fantastic and you should use them. If you head on over to the British Tech Network, click on the sponsors link and you will see all the voucher codes that you can use for UK2. You can get all sorts of things like VPS, domains and all that kind of stuff. All very awesome. They're great, great guys over there. Great for support as well. If you have any questions, I'll get back to you immediately. Well, not immediately, sir. I'm promising things that they can't deliver. They will get back to you very, very quickly and very promptly. I've also experienced that if you mention them on Twitter, they're really, really hot on that as well. So they'll come back to you answers on Twitter and see what they can do to help. Extremely helpful over there. I would highly recommend them. So if you can head on over to sponsors link on the British Tech Network website, click on the link, buy all your stuff from UK2. They support British Tech and we hope that you support them too. So, gentlemen, how was your bargain basement challenges this week? I know mine was incredible.
I did offer to drop off yesterday.
I was out all day yesterday.
I don't know. You didn't reply.
You didn't reply to me that the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Right. When you're done with that, I played the Road to South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the hell it was.
It was a football game.
I played 20 minutes of it. I played 20 minutes of it because it made me angry.
How many matches did you play?
I think about 3 quarters.
20 minutes or one game? How long?
No, I don't know.
Have you actually played full-length games?
No. It doesn't. No.
One match doesn't take 20 minutes, even in standard sense, or it changes.
It felt like it.
I suppose you've been kicking the ball out of play quite a lot.
And to be fair, it took me a little while to work out what the hell was going on. And there was a lot of going back to menus and working out what things did. And then also then going onto the internet and finding out what those terms meant in real life. I understood.
What's a goalkeeper?
Header.
So what team did you select?
England.
And who did you play against? Do we believe you played this game?
I can't think of a scenario in any football game, even though I don't know much about football, whereby I felt the need to go on the internet to find out the descriptions of some settings. I normally just go Scotland or sometimes like another team, but never England. I don't really mean that.
No.
So I will choose a country of some kind and then just start. I never go into settings or anything like that.
I needed to know what the buttons did.
I know, but just kind of. That's a fair point. I wouldn't have done that. I would have just went in and just kept on pushing. I'm waiting till I find the hack button.
I understood. Yeah. I understood pass. Professional full button is
awesome.
I understood pass, long pass, and it was like kick, basically. And,
shoot.
And that was it. Yeah, shoot. Yeah.
I remember I think it was PS1 or PS2 days, there was a FIFA. Actually, it doesn't have it anymore, but there was a normal tackle, a sliding tackle, and an actual button just called professional foul, which was just like...
Which was basically you curbed them.
Well, head, whatever. I don't know what they did. It was basically like foot to the chest sort of tackle. And I remember I never finished a game against my brother ever, because whenever he lost, he made sure he got the game abandoned by getting always players, or at least like 3 or 4. If you get like 4 or 5 players set off, the game gets abandoned. Mm-hmm. And I'd be winning like 10-0, so I end up getting abandoned and win 3-0 instead, because it changes the scoreline to that if it gets abandoned, I think. And the amount of times he was Newcastle, and it was when Shearer was playing. My goalkeeper had the ball, I booted it, and because the camera's following the ball, he no longer saw my goalkeeper, but all he saw was Shearer running off screen, and all he heard was a red card for Shearer as he horribly crippled my goalkeeper off screen just after he kicked the ball, smashed, kept on going, guessed where he was off screen and smashed him with the first football button.
I remember one, it was probably the last time I played a football game. It was on the Master System, and the professional foul, I don't know if it was professional foul, but there was a foul button, and I'm not sure what exactly it was supposed to be, but it just looked like he headbutted the other guy. Yeah. Just like,
It's Fight Night's got that. But there's a boxing game, and I remember playing the demo for that, and it did have a button for headbutt. It's not quite boxing, is it? And because it's the NHL games, I've got like buttons for that. Like basically, games. Have a full on fight middle of the ring and stuff like that.
Remember the old kickoff games on the Atari and the Amiga and stuff like that? And you could do, there was a button that was called hack, but because of like the graphics, it actually looked like they were doing a drop kick. And what they were actually doing was they were doing a slide tackle, but because of like the flat 2D graphics,
levitating.
It looked like you levitated up and did like a drop kick across the screen and it took the guy out. Anyway, so you enjoyed Road to South Africa.
Yeah, it was really good.
Awesome.
No, it really wasn't very good at all.
Not your game.
Well, I didn't like it. But also...
I don't think it was very good for people even like football.
No,
games.
When I was going to say, when I was looking...
Because it was a cheap cash-in, because it's like Road to World Cup, you don't get the World Cup. It's just, that's when EA were doing their... Even worse than what they currently do with SimCity, is went like, right, here's your football game, your yearly one. No, it's World Cup this year. Here's your road to it, and then here's your World Cup games. You have to get all of them. And the same, it just...
Wow.
They were even worse back then than what they are now. I think for a while they turned the corner, but it sounds like they're going back down the same road again.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't enjoy it.
Right.
Basically what it was.
Cool. Chiz, you had Soldier of Fortune.
Soldier of Fortune, yeah. I last played this game I first played this game when I was 18 or 19 when it came out.
Right.
So I was aged to play it. which not many people probably were. I remember it's still...
Did it come out in the 80s?
Yeah.
Wow.
83.
Year of my birth.
You play as John Mullins. Okay. Who's a like Vietnam vet who went off to become a mercenary afterwards. I remember like when I was installing the game, you get all the whole backstory.
Yeah.
Because I've got a SSD, it was quite hard to follow what it was saying. It's still great to this game. It's still got like, because it was controversial back in the day because it was ultra violent back then, where you could basically exit wounds and blow limbs off and all sorts. And even it was all about having fun with a gun, because there's even a button on the keyboard to flip your gun and in two ways, just like, well, it's a bit, I couldn't remember the button, so I remember the controls,
just
and I pressed
it. Just as a description here, Chiz is holding out both hands as if holding a small machine
shotgun.
Right.
Automatic shotgun. And it's like you'd flip the gun
it downwards.
Yep. So you'd flip it that way,
right.
You'd press again, you'd turn around and flip
it
the other way, and just like it's like what
in
it does nothing
hand
in the
movement.
Game.
What, first clockwise and then anti-clockwise?
Yeah. It's like there's a button just to, like, if you've got a handgun,
it's now reaching out and pressing an imaginary button.
yeah. But yeah, so there's a button.
I remember the game. I remember the guns being in that being some of the most satisfying ever come across in any game.
It's still quite a fun game, and as I say, like blowing, like the exit wounds and the gore and stuff is.
The shotgun was.
Yeah.
It just felt incredibly meaty.
Because there was actually, because it's made by Raven, who actually made some really good games in the past. They made the Jedi Outcast, which was fantastic.
I never really played that.
But one of the things when you're installing the game is it tells you, Soldier Fortune is a realistic depiction of a modern combat and warfare. No, it's not. I wouldn't say it's realistic at all. As a result, this game contains scenes that may not be suitable for all audiences. And then, like, basically, you can cheat. There's even a password lock for the gore. You have to unlock it.
Yeah.
And again, it's, so they went to. They knew they were getting heat for it from probably from the government and all sorts of people going, nah, 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 nah. So there was all sorts of things to, like, you could install the game and choose how much gore you had. There's full violence or all taken out or something.
Yeah, yeah.
In between, just a bit of blood and whatnot. Obviously, full answer me. I'm 18, I'm loud. but yeah, but still stands up well. It's still a good, fun game. And Poi shows that even games today haven't taken up a lot of... Well,
you've not customised your home screen at all.
I've got Batman in the background.
Yeah, but the icons in the home screen.
Who cares?
What about them?
Who cares? Them.
We're talking about games.
Because I know where they are. If I move them about, I'll forget.
Cheers. How was it for playing it on Windows 7, I presume, for you? Or have you gone on to 8 now?
On Windows 7, I had to do the backwards compatibility thing, and right. I had to jump through a few hoops even then to get it going, okay. But eventually I did.
Cool. All right.
Okay. Cool. I only just got given my game this evening when we came together to record. So I've not played mine yet.
I did offer to bring it over yesterday. Although, to be fair, I forgot to give it to you, but you didn't really chase it up until Wednesday either.
and also, to be fair, that's been a month since we said we would give it to you, and Cheers offered to bring it yesterday.
Yeah. So
I've already picked one that I'm going to get you from Steam for next time.
For the next time. So for those of you that don't remember, I'm still playing Thief 3 for the third episode.
It's good enough to
Deadly
play
Shadows,
that
it's not actually called Thief 3.
Thief 3. So, for next week for you ones, being that there's one horrendous one in here and one I'm not sure about, I am just going to let you guys pick. So who wants to go first?
I don't care.
Right.
As long as it's not football again, I don't care.
This isn't just like your own feces in the bottom of this bag or something. Oh, it's moist.
I'm just describing the scene. It's like creepy.
This is
Santa's
the horrendous
grotto.
One.
No, it's not.
This isn't. Oh, I can't wait to see yours.
What is it?
I have one bloody recycling sticker on the way. Hold on.
Look, it's on the side.
Oh, yeah. One Must Fall Battlegrounds.
Okay.
What?
Going to describe for us the front cover?
It involves a cyborg with sword hands fighting a cyborg bird-looking thing
cool.
with wings.
That sounds really Hensburg. Good, Chase.
Yeah. Sam?
Is that... What kind of game is it?
I'm trying to tell. After proving the popularity of the World Championship Tournament in 2097, mankind has continued to cheer and applaud HAR, or H-A-R. Dear God, there's random spaces. It's like, to applaud HAR, and it's like RNA, but I take it must mean Arena Combat, sports some 20 years later. The newest generation of HAR pilots are faster, stronger, and more mentally focused than any competitors in recorded history. Hardened veteran warriors will also challenge your progress throughout attempts to ascend to the rank of undisputed champion. Just remember, before you can rise... One must fall.
Is it like an arena fight type thing?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that. Much like what I've had from that magic and crap game before. So
let's see what Sam's got here.
Paul's looking really smug. I've taken it out of the bag. I haven't looked at it yet.
Sam has.
He enjoyed the game with the Pingu one or the
yeah, actually.
One. So you might enjoy that one.
Please
tell us what it is.
The Emperor's New Groove.
A Disney Hotshot game, is it? Is it top?
Yeah.
So what are you doing it?
Oh.
Please read out the back cover.
Graphics look good. I'm not sure if this is going to play. oh no, sorry. I finally got to XP. It's system requirements. Windows 95, 98, ME, 2000, or XP.
Well, yeah.
So
mine
do.
Doesn't go beyond 98.
In order to save me, all you have to do is, should say kill me, but is
no,
get me
lie.
Back to the palace, defeat Izma, and find the restorative potion to get me back my groove and so get a move on, or I could be stuck as a llama for the rest of my grass-eating life. Oh, gosh. It's eight amazing 3D worlds fit for an emperor.
Wow.
Look at the pictures.
Anyway, while you're looking at the pictures, I'm just going to mention about the British Tech Bash. The British Tech Bash is on July...
hand-drawn by Walt Disney's corpse himself.
July the 6th.
Or his beheaded corpse, because it's frozen, isn't it?
July the 6th in Birmingham. The address will be made available at a later date. But the important news is, what we're planning to do, we've mentioned this in previous shows, and Ewan's mentioned it in some of the other shows on the network. We're planning on having a bash version of the quiz that you probably would have listened to at Christmas time. And the intention is that it's basically going to be Chiz versus four teams made up from people at the bash, captained by four people, Sam being one of the captains, and we will be digging up another three closer to the time. So the idea is it'll be Chiz versus PC and Mac gamers in one team, retro gamers.
My one question to this is, isn't that going to leave huge gaps in knowledge?
No, not necessarily.
So that why are there five teams? It should be like five specialist groupings as opposed to...
No, that's not the way I'm doing it.
All right.
It's my quiz.
I like when we discussed this before the show, you could have raised that question and just left it till
it's only
now.
Just occurred to me just now. And you know, we don't like to show people that we're a unified, solid team.
So, there's going to be...
the dissident of the group.
There's going to be five teams. One will be Chiz, one will be Mac and PC gamers, one will be kind of more casual and mobile gamers, so that's iOS, Android, 3DS, DS, all that kind of good stuff, Wii U and so on.
All the good stuff.
Retro gamers, so if you're really just interested in kind of older style games, and finally console gamers, so like PlayStations and Xboxes.
Which one will I be in charge of?
You'll be the PC Mac gamers.
Will I? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So,
wouldn't the PC and Mac guys just fight each other?
No. We're all friends now. Yeah, I've bridged that gap.
Be the most pathetic beat down ever.
If I had upper body strength, I would flare at you horribly.
So think about if it would be great for you to have you along at the bash. If you're going to come along, have a think about what team you're going to join. We're going to announce the team captains kind of close at the time. So which team you're going to get behind? Are you going to be behind Sam?
No.
And see if you can't take down Chiz.
Join
Sam's team.
Team
has to wear nothing but silky spandex.
Chiz is wearing a mankini.
We mentioned last time, Chiz mentioned last time that we were going to go in fancy dress.
Are you really? Good.
Are we still going to do
it? Well, you guys might do.
I'm saying we, Paul, we.
We will discuss this off the show. Anyway, if you want to contact the British Tech Network, please do so through Twitter, at British Tech. If you want to email the network, it's britishtechnews@gmail.com. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Paul Wheatley on both Twitter and app.net. If you want to get a hold of Sam, he is Dr. Nasty Flaps on Twitter. And we will see you in another 2 weeks for some more awesome gaming goodness. Good night.
Unless this show gets deleted as well.
Yeah, don't join my team. It's going to be pretty shoddy.
Good night.